This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi over in New Jersey. Hour number one was a lot of fun. Hour number two is going to be even more fun. We do have our buddy Matt Youmans joining us in 30 minutes, host of VSiN Tonight. You can check that out Monday through Fridays, 9 to midnight Eastern time. But joining us right now to kick off this second hour in his usual time slot, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point Hotel and Casino, the one and only Vinny Maiulo. Vinny, hope all is well. Let's start with the NBA Finals. Last night, Denver takes game one. They go ahead and cover the spread. Game goes under the total. How did you guys make out with what the bettors were doing across the window there in game one of the NBA Finals?
Gentlemen, good to be with you. Happy weekend and good first game. Got beat a little bit to the side. I mean, the best result for the house would have been the Nuggets to win but not cover. But the fact that they did, overall, a pretty good two-way betting game. So no real damage. I think they would like it a little better if it was not quite as spread out, you know what I mean? But the fact of the matter is we've got it positioned nicely. And I think the game, like I said, had pretty good two-way action, a little bit more money on the Heat, on the future, on the best of seven. Initially, they took 335 and 330. They did bet the Heat a little bit on the money line yesterday, but overall, a pretty good result, good action, and it is the NBA Finals. Folks like it, and they're going to continue to bet it. And a lot of folks are saying, "Well, would it have been better if it was, you know, more business if it was Celtics Lakers?" Maybe so, guys. Maybe a little bit more sexy, but you got to give credit to these two teams. They fought their way there. The Heat, for the first time in this postseason, did not win game one. I think some folks were kind of rooting for that trend to continue. I think the Nuggets were guarding against it. They showed no rust at all yesterday. A lot of folks were interested in the Heat for the first quarter and the first half. So we did need the Nuggets in those two prop bets. I'd give full marks and full credit to the Nuggets for coming out the way they did.
So, Vinny, what is the betting reaction? Did you move the number for the next game? What has been your reaction and what has been the sharps' reaction to the game?
We did open it 9, Michael, and they did take the 9. We're at 8.5. Again, I think you may see a bit of a zigzag theory, if you will, when it comes to this. I don't think that the Heat want to go down 2-0. This is a different dynamic that they're dealing with this Nuggets team. I think it's a deeper team, a more balanced team than what the Heat have faced so far. I think the Heat were emotionally maybe there was a little they were a little bit spent emotionally, maybe coming off that 7-game series against the Celtics. But right now, the initial response is that the Heat will respond. They took the 9, so sitting at 8.5, the total at 214.5. No movement there just yet. And again, the money line 380 plus 320 for the game. The new series price minus $9 on the Nuggets plus 6. This is a different dynamic, I think, that we're seeing. So we didn't overreact too much to it, but I think it'll be a pretty good two-way betting game. But initially, money's come in on the Heat, and we anticipated that, though that's not really a surprise.
Well, we're speaking with Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny, I do want to talk about the total, because the game one total that closed around 219. Now we're sitting here for game number two. That's 214.5. Took a little under money after opening 215. Like, do you see this like as a lower scoring series, or do maybe some of the sharps, they're kind of lying in wait to go ahead and play a contrarian over closer to tip off?
No, I don't know. I think, you know, more sophisticated bettors, and that's what you really pay close attention to, right? The way they bet it and betting it under. I mean, look, the defense. Both these teams in the finals, you should see better defense, and these teams did play better defense to get here. But I don't know, Femi, if the public loves to root for points, and they'll bet the over. So if If you know professionals are looking to bet this total, they'll look to bet it under, but they'll wait to bet it under because of the adjustment that's been made, and also let in hopes that the public drives it up some. So I don't think you know, the public will, you know, they love their parlays, right? Give me the Heat and over, give me the Nuggets and over type thing. And I mean, that's what more or season bettors, you know what, pros will just say, you know what, we'll pass on the total for this game, or they'll bet it in game. But more inclined to take the points with the dog than focus on the total right now, unless it gets driven way up.
Yeah, I would think so too. You know, I mean, there's a lot of argument. We just had, you know, we talked about Miami had so many open shots they just missed. Of course, Denver shot below 30% from the three-point line moving forward. What is your sense? What is the number one series ending, 4-1 Denver, 4-2 Denver, or Denver sweep in terms of people betting?
You know what, Michael? We put it up. We put up the exact result. You know, Heat in 4, 5, 6, and 7, and the same for the Nuggets, and it was pretty balanced. People were betting. I think people – nobody really bet the sweep by either team. Most of the action came in on Heat in 6 or 7. And Nuggets in 5 and 6. So from our perspective, that's great. You've got an 8-way index prop there that has a pretty good balanced action to it. But in terms of betting that index, it was Heat in 5 and 6 and 7 and Nuggets in 5 and 6. So we're happy with the way it's been bet so far and the way it's been balanced for sure.
Well, we do have the Stanley Cup final that's about to puck drop tomorrow down the street over at T-Mobile Arena. Vegas Golden Knights hosting the Florida Panthers in game number one. Before we get into game one, let's just talk about kind of the futures book and how you guys are sitting right now, because I'm assuming VGK every single year is a lot of liability just because of the hometown fans want to bet their team to win the Stanley Cup. Are you guys kind of sitting on some monster tickets there with VGK potentially 4 wins away from ultimately doing it? And are you kind of rooting for the Florida Panthers here in this spot?
Good question. You know, I can tell you this. There is some liability with the Knights, but nothing like year one. Let's remember that. Year one, they were, you know, anywhere from 400, 500, 600 to 1 to win the cup. And people that and there was a lot of exposure because people bought those tickets almost as souvenirs. I told a story back then. I had a buddy of mine who had a Golden Knights ticket. He had it at 500 to 1. To win the Stanley Cup, and he had it framed, and he put it up with their first game result, and he had it in his house hanging up, and he had it matted and framed. He had it professionally done and everything. Well, when they got into the playoffs, he went and he took a hammer to it. He cracked it open, and he took the ticket, and he took it over to it, put it in his safety deposit box. I mean, there was a lot of that going on that first year. Is there support for the Knights and some exposure? A little bit. Nothing like year one, but – and if you know what, it's good. We don't have a problem. If the Knights win, fine. You know what? It's great for the city. You have to remember too. You know, we've always been fans in this business. We got into, you know, when we were growing up as kids, all of us we were fans. You have to kind of, you can't book as a fan, but you know what? In our hearts, listen. If the local team does well, it's really good for business. It's only going to, ignite more handle as we get through the summer, putting up next year's Stanley Cup futures. But let's remember, the Knights were one of the shorter-priced teams going into this year. Actually, the Florida Panthers were, too. Panthers were a bigger dog going into the playoffs because, you know, going – let's remember this. A year ago, the Panthers won the President's Trophy. For the most points in the NHL, and then you know their playoff run was very short. They made some changes in the offseason. Maurice is the coach. Bobrovsky's played terrific this particularly this postseason. And then of course you've got Matthew Tkachuk, who's just been a tremendous player for them. He's been a nightmare for the Knights from the days when he played against them, and they used to see him a lot more when he was with Calgary. So you put all those factors together, they were about 10-1 going into the season. But as the season went on, they were life and death. And let's remember, they didn't make the playoffs until like the last day of the season, when they had to win their games, and then the Pittsburgh Penguins lost their last two games to Columbus and Chicago, respectively. So they get in on the last day of the season. They were about 40-1 going into the playoffs. You would think there'd be a little bit more exposure on the Panthers, but it really didn't take off until after they got they disposed of the Boston Bruins. So more Knights tickets, more Knights money. But if we have to pay it out, guys, it's not a problem. It's good for business. Are you kidding me? Nothing like a Stanley Cup residency on Las Vegas Boulevard. Hopefully that happens.
Yeah, you can't beat that. Vinny, we only have about a minute left. How about the Belmont? Have you heard – what is the – are you booking much for the Belmont? Has there been a declaration of the horses that are going to enter?
There's going to be about 14 horses, Michael. I think, you know, it'll be a bigger field than certainly we saw in the Preakness. And, I mean, the fact that there's not a Triple Crown on the line is going to impact the handle somewhat. But I think there'll be more handle for the Belmont than the Preakness simply because there'll be more familiar horses. Looks like Forte is going to come back from his injury and when he missed the Kentucky Derby. So it looks like there's going to be about 14 horses. They'll draw that week, this next week coming up, the first part of the week, and then the advance wagering for the Belmont will take place next Thursday and Friday. So, yeah, we're looking forward to the Belmont third leg of the Triple Crown, even though there's not a Triple Crown on the line. It's a great card. The other races on the card that day, there should be at least six races or more. I think we're looking at 6 to 8 races from Friday and on the earlier card on Saturday going to the Belmont for those doubles. So looking forward to the Belmont. It'll be a bigger field, and I think the interest will be much better.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to that next week. He is Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point. Thank you, Vinny. We'll talk to you next Friday. Let's go Buzz Lightyear next segment here, boys, to infinity and beyond next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi here on this Friday morning. We just had Vinny Maiulo on in the last segment. Always good to hear from Vinny. Joining us next segment will be Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight. But, Michael, we've been wondering all offseason long, now that we're in the month of June, which quarterbacks are going to take the next step? Which quarterbacks are light years ahead of where they were this time last year? I already see you chuckling. You're ready to go. You're looking your chops at this segment here. I know you're ready to go. I have a couple of clients in this segment, so take it easy.
Oh, you got a bunch of them. I mean, you'll just take them all. Bring me your tires. You're weak. Yes.
Let's get to some of my clients here. A game that we're going to call Light Years Ahead or Falling Behind. And we'll start with my main guy, the guy I took on first, Justin Field, quarterback of the Chicago Bears, entering year number 3. The Bears have now surrounded him with some pieces. He has DJ Moore. They've tried to do some things with the offensive line.
There is. I love that. The pieces, the line. Yeah, I love that.
You need teammates.
I love that. In reality, the pieces, just ask Trey Lance how those pieces worked out for him. Oh, he's got the pieces. He can do this. He can do that. Oh, we're better in the offensive line.
Have you seen the throwing motion?
You know, but then when it breaks down, it's going to be the line's fault. It's going to be the receivers didn't really step up, and, you know, nobody's giving them help. And so we'll just keep moving. It's like that lemon that they put underneath the cup. We'll just keep moving around. You figure out where it is, you know, like what can we use to blame it, you know. I have no idea if Justin Fields is going to be. I know one thing, we are in Buzz Lightyear season. I mean, that's where we are. Everybody, I saw it today, CJ Stroud's Lightyear. Where did this come from, you know, to infinity and beyond? I mean, I love it. I love the movie. I watch it with Dominic and all the Leo, everybody. Yeah. But this is somewhat of a hard thing to cut your grasp around, because the NFL is a very fast league, and practice to the preseason to the regular season is an increase in terms of speed and volume as you go through. And it's hard to handicap. It's hard to handicap. I've left a lot of summer mini camps with the idea that this guy was going to be a really good player, and only to return at the end of preseason completely disappointed. So what's happening now really doesn't affect. One of the players on our list, Sam Howell, has never played but one game. I don't know how to handle that. And he's got a new offensive coordinator. So how do you judge that outside? The challenge will be, Femi, is your clients, are they going to play this summer? Are they going to play in the three preseason games? How much live work will these guys get?
I think that's a really good question. That's something that I've always kind of has bugged me as the recent wave of, hey, we don't want to play our guys in the preseason. It's like, football players got to play football, man. Like, you got to get ready for football. And the only way to do that is to actually play it. And for some of these quarterbacks, you're not good enough to skip the whole preseason. Like, you need to get those live reps and see those coverages and see all the different things and get comfortable with the offense. Now, for my guy, Justin Fields, at least he's now in year two of this offense with Luke Getsy.
Three of his career.
But, you know, year two for Getsy. He's going to take that step, you know, as we're light years ahead. But Jordan Love, though, is the one I think is really interesting because he's been in this offense under Matt LaFleur. This is the guy that they drafted to be the successor to Aaron Rodgers, the four-time MVP quarterback. And he's not in the same spot as the other guys. Hasn't quite played as many games as Justin Fields, but he's been in the league longer, and he's kind of started to grow and mature. It's kind of an old-school situation here of a guy that gets to sit a few years before actually having to go out there and play. Do you think that we could see Jordan Love take that step and ultimately be a productive quarterback for the Packers?
Well, the one thing the Packers do should know is what Jordan Love is good at doing and what he's not. And that's a battle that only takes time, and it takes experience. I mean, Luke Getsy understands in Justin Fields what he's good at doing, what throws he's good at making, and what situations he's comfortable in. And I think it's the same thing for Jordan Love. Not sure they know that about Sam Howell yet. I'm not sure they know that about Trey Lance yet, frankly. I'm not sure Kyle Shanahan has that idea nailed down. I do think Pittsburgh understands who Kenny Pickett is, so they can do that. And once you understand what the player's good at doing and what he's good at executing and what fits into his wheelhouse, then you could design an offense around that wheelhouse, around making him look better and improving him, making the game easier for him as the speed of the game continues. But I would say this, if you believe Jordan Love is light years ahead, if you believe he's Buzz, then you should bet the Packers to win the North, and you should bet the Packers on the 7.5 total. Because when you break down the Packers and you take away the main fundamental question is who replaces Rodgers, the team would be a 13-win team typically if Rodgers were on it and they were playing their normal self. They would probably be a 10-win team. They would definitely be the favorite in the East. So if you look at this and say, I love Love. I think he's going to be really good. I think he's going to take that Buzz Lightyear step ahead. Then don't just stop with the thought. Go to the window and say, I'm going to take the Packers over 7.5. I'm going to take the Packers to win the North, because you're going to get good odds on both those numbers. And so you have to have some – how do you make money in the market or in the drafting or in the betting business? It's the same principles, information, belief.
Yep.
Belief and information go together. I believe this player is going to excel, and because he's going to excel, I'm going to put my money on the team. The Packers are good on defense. They have enough defense. They're the best defensive team in the North. I don't think it's close. They're good in the kicking game with the return of Nixon. I mean, they've improved in that area and with Rich Bisacci coaching them. So they're good there. Their offensive line is somewhat experienced if they get Bakary back. So they've got that. They've got two really good running backs in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. They're young at receiver, granted. But this is not a team devoid of talent. This is the most talented team absence the quarterback. The comedy is, is people are more than willing, like yourself, to make that bet on Justin Fields. Why? I don't know. I don't know what they've seen other than great running back. But the people are willing to make that bet. No one's willing to make it on the Packers.
Well, let's pump the brakes. I haven't made any bets on the Chicago Bears and my guy Justin Fields.
Other than the MVP for Fields. We saw you at the window. We have pictures of it.
I want to see those photos because that wasn't me.
This is not the Zapruder film. This isn't been – no, this is – we have it.
Yeah. Are we going to Charlotte to go play horse or what are we doing? I think the thing with Fields, people expect him to take another step in that offense. The Packers
point that – did he take? What step did he take last year? I mean, answer that question. What step game did Justin Fields take last year?
Was he not better in the second half of the season versus the first half of the season? He got better, did he not?
No.
You don't think he got better?
He wasn't good at all. He threw it on an average 22 times a game. He was not good at all, Femi. If you watch the tape, he couldn't make throws. The Detroit game, he gives them the game with the interception. The guy's a turnover machine. 91 sacks, 29 fumbles. I mean, he's won less games than Davis Mills, who you would be in complete disgust of. Davis Mills' numbers passing are better than Justin Fields. It's not even close. This logic, he's played better in the second. I can't find it. I think he's a horrible thrower. Will he get better? I'll see.
I mean, I know you don't love QBR, but the second half of the season, he had one of the top five QBRs in the league.
Oh, my
God. You can shake your head, but that's a fact.
Hang on that number.
You can shake your head, but that's a fact.
I've seen games. I've posted this on. I've seen games where the team got killed and the quarterback's QBR is great. Like, if you want to hang on that, go ahead.
I'm not saying it's everything. I'm not saying it's everything, but he's. But I don't think he's devoid of being able to play. Like you're talking about him like he should be QB too.
He's a good running back. I'll acknowledge he's a good running back.
Do you think he should be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
I think he should have competition. I think if Caleb Williams was coming out, he wouldn't be the quarterback of the Bears. That's how much I think.
Well, he's not, so he is. I mean, we're going to see what he does in 2023. Like I'm a believer of Justin Fields. I think that he can take that step in year three here. Now that he's in the offense, he's got some talent around him. Like, it's not all just the talent.
Oh, there it is. I love that.
You need good players.
That was the problem. He had no talent last year, but his QBR was better, though. Without that talent, his QBR got better. I love him. He's so good. I can't wait. Give him the MVP right now.
Says a lot about him that he was productive with no players around him. Matt Youmans joins us next year on the
Lombardi. The amount of excuses that come in is just so good. It's so good.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your sports betting game to the next level this summer with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now for only $9.99 and get access to everything we do, including daily pro picks on all the summer action like the NFL and college football futures, premium analysis from our team of top handicappers, and industry experts, 24/7 video access, and pro tools like our exclusive betting split showing you where the public and sharp money is going to give you an edge. Start betting smarter. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe and sign up now. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. And joining us now is Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight. You can check that out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern with our buddy Wes Reynolds, 6 to 9 over on the West Coast here. Matt, we appreciate you taking the time this morning. And the NBA Finals, I know you're a big Heat culture guy. And it got a little, shaky heading into that Game 7 Monday night. They get it done to beat the Celtics, but they do lose Game 1 of the NBA Finals. First time they've lost a Game 1 this postseason. How are we feeling now after what we saw last night with Denver winning that one 104-93?
Well, first of all, this show is called the Lombardi Line. I thought we were talking football today. What's the deal?
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to it.
Okay.
Well, we were just talking about Justin Fields' remarkable second half of the season where his QBR just shot through the roof. I guess we ignored the 40.8 against the Lions, but no big deal. But anyway, we're just discussing Justin Fields' Buzz Lightyear's resurgence that he's going to So that's what we were. So we had to shift it. We had to water the fire to go on to something else.
That was after Fields and the Bears lost 10 games in a row to finish the season, right?
Yeah, that was there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'll tell you what. If you go through all the QBRs, they were consistent. They were consistent. They ranged, you know, he had a 43, had a 27, but for the most part, they were consistent. Bad.
Okay, so I'll talk about the Miami Heat if you guys are going to force me to talk basketball today. So let's do it. You can't be surprised by what happened last night. The Heat played a tough 7-game series against the Celtics. You got to fly from Boston to Denver. Probably a little bit of a crash in adrenaline. I'm not going to talk about the altitude and all that stuff. I don't think it played into the game last night. It's just the Heat looked like they were on tired legs a little bit. When you have so many jump shots coming up short, that's usually the case. And I heard one commentator last night blaming it on Jimmy Butler, saying he was not aggressive enough. If you watch that game and you blame Jimmy Butler last night, you have no idea what you're watching. Because I think what the Denver defense is going to try to do is limit Butler, take away what they can, and make him set up teammates. And what the Heat, I guess what they had a problem with last night was knocking down open shots. When you look at Caleb Martin, Marcel Strus, and Duncan Robinson, those guys shot a combined 2 for 23. And they missed a lot of wide open looks for three. And when you go back to the Boston series, the Heat knocked down 58% of their open three-point looks. That's an incredible percentage. And there was regression in that last night with guys like Martin, Strus, and Robinson, who just could not hit a shot. It was not on Jimmy Butler last night. It was on the guys who could not make wide open three-point shots. And I got to think that's going to change in game two or game three, because the Heat do have better shooters than that. Last night, those guys just didn't show up for game one. Basically, that was the difference. When you miss that many wide open looks from three, you're not going to win a game.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, there's an argument too, Matt, to be made that you know, Denver didn't shoot very well. I mean, actually, Miami right. shot better from the three-point line than Denver did. But I kind of agree with you. They had a lot of good looks that they just – even inside the three-point line, I thought they had good looks.
Oh, yeah. I thought the Heat had good looks all night. I'm not going to give the defense for Denver a ton of credit, because I thought Miami was just missing open shots. And that's something that the Heat didn't do for the most part in the series against the Celtics or previously in the playoffs. And I just thought that was the biggest difference. Also, a lack of aggression. I was talking about this. We were doing a live betting show, essentially, on the game last night. Wes Reynolds and I were on the air for most of the game, and I kept talking about the lack of aggression by the Heat to try to get to the rim. And I said, look at this. We're sitting here late third quarter, and Miami's only got 2 free throw attempts. And the Heat finished the game with 2 free throw attempts, which is an NBA low in playoff history, and that's the difference you're going to see in game two. Jimmy Butler talked about it last night. They got to attack the rim more. And we use typically in basketball, when you attack the rim, good things are going to happen on the offensive end, and the Heat did not do that last night.
Speaking with Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight. Check that out, 9 to midnight Eastern, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 West Coast time. So then would you believe that Miami can make this a competitive series? It sounds crazy to even ask that after only one game, and they almost backdoor covered that game. But do you think that we can see a 6-game series or so in this? Because if you want Miami plus 2.5 on the series spread, you can get plus 105.
Yeah, I think the Heat can make it competitive. Most people tend to overreact after game one. I saw a report from The Athletic today, and the headline was, Nuggets two are going to be too much for the Heat. I mean, you can't draw these conclusions after one game. Now, I did think, Femi, you were talking about how much I like the Heat and Jimmy Butler, and I have going back a few years. But I did not like the Heat's chances in this series. I just felt like they were going to run into a different monster here with Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. The thing about the Celtics, and you guys watched that entire series, I thought the Celtics went a long way to beat themselves in that series. They got immature, inconsistent leadership. They did not defend well. They turned the ball over too much, took a lot of bad shots. They got a rookie coach on the bench. You're not going to get those things with the Denver Nuggets. So I think the Heat capitalized on the Celtics team that was really sloppy in the previous series. And the Nuggets are going to be a lot tighter. They got more mature leadership, get better shooters. it's a better coach on the other bench. So that's why I think the Heat are going to have a lot more problems in this series. And in fact, I don't like to lay $4, obviously, but I did lay $4 on Denver on the series price for a pretty significant bet. And I also laid 1.5 games on the Nuggets. And I thought going into it, the Heat probably win 2 games. I thought it was going to be Nuggets in 6. I still think it's going to be Nuggets in 6. The Heat can get hot enough from 3 that they can win a couple games in this series for sure.
Hey, Matt, ESPN released, the Worldwide Leader released its Week 1 college schedule. Is there a game that jumps out to you in Week 1?
Yeah, I was trying to recall the Week 1 schedule, but I don't know. The Texas and Alabama game, is that Week 2?
Yeah, I think it is.
I think Texas-Bama is Week 2, and I don't have the schedule in front of me. But, man, there are a lot of really good matchups in the first week of the season and the second week of the season. And, in fact, we were going to do a segment on our show about that tonight because I think college football is doing a good job of putting a lot of marquee matchups on TV the first 2 or 3 weeks especially. And, hey, man, time to get fired up because we're less than 100 days away from the start of the college football and NFL regular season. So you kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel here.
No, it's going to be a great
no
time.
Question.
Yeah, that Texas-Bama, I believe that is going to be week number 2 there. I'm looking at the schedule right now.
Okay.
And stuff. Yeah. So, yep, that's the week number 2.
We get Utah, Florida as kind of in Utah, which will be a fun game to watch.
Yeah. SEC team having to go out west. How about that?
It's very rare when you see an SEC team make a West Coast trip. Yeah. I mean, like you just said, and you don't see them play too many of those true road games like that. I thought Utah really made a mistake by playing at Florida in the first game last season. I said, you don't need to schedule a game that difficult in the first week. Go play in the heat and humidity in Florida. And I thought that kind of derailed the season in a way. Mm-hmm. And now we look at the rematch. I think Utah's right now, I believe, a 9-point favorite. So, there are not high hopes for the Florida Gators this year after Michael's favorite quarterback, Anthony Richardson, departed for the Colts.
Well, we also got LSU and Florida State to kick it off, too, which will be a fun one. That was last year. I was in Biloxi when that game was going on, and they played it over at the now they're going to play it in Orlando, but they played it in New Orleans last year.
Yeah, that was a hell of a game. And, Brian Kelly lost his first game with LSU, but that was a great game on that Sunday night. And I'll probably be betting on Brian Kelly to win this one against Florida State.
Hey, Matt, real quick before we let you go here, we got about 40 seconds left. Your guy, Zach Edey, the National Player of the Year, is returning to Purdue. You guys excited over there in West Lafayette? Can you finally get over the hump after losing to a 16 seed?
Oh, jeez. Okay. I couldn't hear what you said
today. Matt, he's on a roll today. He's got Justin Fields banners running around the studio. You know, he's citing QBR for his turnaround, and then he's taking shots at you for your Purdue Boilermakers. I mean, he's on a roll.
He's not on the
you know
team.
Why he's here? Matt, you know why he's on such a roll? He won his 9.5 assist total for Jokic, and he has patted himself on the back for the first half hour of the show. So you just got to endure.
Yeah. I mean, it cast easy at halftime.
Winner.
It was at halftime. I mean,
he was so proud of himself. It cashed at halftime.
Cashed at halftime. He had 14 assists for the Joker last night. Yeah, I think Edey coming back is a great thing for college basketball, but I would not bet on Purdue to win the tournament. No. I like Kansas and Michigan State the best on paper right now.
Okay, there we go. Get a little early
Matt.
College basketball bets from Matt Humans there. Check him out over on VSiN tonight. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resort properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action. with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi up there in New Jersey. We just had a Matt Eumanns on in the last segment there. You know, I wasn't taking a shot at Matt Eumanns, okay? I was just taking a shot at his team. Okay? He's not on the team. He just went to the school. and our producer, Elliot, well, as well. Know, he's the first
when school. You're an alumnus, when you're an alumnus, you feel the pain. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I guess so. But the only team that lost to a 16 seed the following year, they won the national title. So if that trend continues, maybe they're cutting down the nets next season.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, there's always hope. I don't know. This college landscape is so hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be a challenge to understand the teams because of all these you got to recalibrate the transfer portal. Who's where? Who's there? You know, what player decides, I was going here, but now I'm going to go the G League? I mean, it's not an easy thing.
Yeah, I have no idea who's playing for which team anymore, honestly. I'll do that homework later on this summer. And when we have to get to college basketball in that time. But as of right now, we're going to just focus on the professional ranks, which leads us to our pro tip of the day. And this comes from Mo DeKill and also you, Michael Lombardi, about how just because Miami was the only team to shoot poorly doesn't mean that Denver did not shoot poorly as well in that game one. And if you believe we get some positive regression from both sides, maybe consider betting the over because we've seen a 5-point adjustment for the total from game one now to game two Sunday evening.
Hello?
Oh, are you still there, Michael? Oh, yeah, we got you,
I
Michael.
I lost you for a second there, Femi.
Yeah, we got you. No, I was just talking about the pro tip about how maybe the play the over, perhaps, if we get a positive regression from both sides there.
I mean, because I think both teams are going to shoot better from the three-point line.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, you know, it's. I know basketball's. We talk about it in the complexities of the game, but at like Mo said, it comes down to making shots. And you know, Denver scores 104 points and shoots below 30% from the 3-point line. Michael Porter's 2 for 11, so you got to believe he's going to start to come back and shoot a little bit better and get accustomed to it. And you know, they'll make the adjustments. I do think the over is a really good option in game two because both teams will shoot better, I believe.
Yeah, especially after seeing a 5-point adjustment. Like, that's way too big. The thing closed 219, 219 and a half yesterday to go all the way down to 214 and a half. There was nothing that I saw that suggests that low scoring series is what we're going to see. I thought both teams got
plus
pretty
you see
solid
the shift in the officials, right? I mean,
yes.
You know, they let them play last night. I mean, it was a physical game, I thought, early on, didn't you?
Oh, 100%. If Denver was bullying them early on, they were using that size advantage. Like Aaron Gordon, I mean, he was like a bull in the china shop at some times there. Yeah. And I mean, he's had a really good performance, especially on in that first quarter. So I would expect some more points. Miami will get to the line more than two times this upcoming game on Sunday. But also in the NBA here, as we have about 6.5 minutes left in the program, you know, Boston Celtics president and general manager Brad Stevens is optimistic on this team after they fall short of the NBA Finals, losing in 7 games to the Miami Heat. Wants to bring back head coach Joe Mazzulla. Mazzulla has been under a lot of fire throughout this postseason. He wants to bring back Jaylen Brown. But I want to talk to you about the Mazzulla point, Michael, because I do think there are some parallels what we saw early on in Eric Spoelstra's career. But let's play this cut first before I get your take on it. Here's Brad Stevens with the Boston media talking about Joe Mazzulla and the potential for him to grow moving forward.
Brad, is Joe Mazzulla the best head coach for this team going forward? And if so, why?
Yeah, I think he is. And I thought he, again, did a really good job with this group. Everybody's going to overreact to the best players and coaches after every game. That's always the way it is. We know that going in, so we have to, you know, be able to judge things on the whole. And he's a terrific leader. He'll only get better at anything that, you know, he can learn from this year because he's constantly trying to learn. And he's accountable. You know, those leadership qualities are hard to find. I know they're easy to talk about, but when you can show all those through the expectations and the microscope that he was under, that's hard to do.
Mm. Interesting words there from Brad Stevens. What do you think about that?
Well, I do think he'll, you know, look, he's going to get better. He's a young coach. He had 3 years of pro experience. He was a coach at, what, Ferris State or Fairmont State? You know, he had very little experience. He got thrust into a job, and none of the assistants were guys he hired. They were all wondering, like, how did I get this job? He was on the back bench. He wasn't on the front bench. He wasn't sitting next to the head coach. He was behind it, you know, and they're all looking like, how did he get that job? And it's not me. Fair question, right? So there's a little bit of doubt that creeps in. And then Damon Stoudemire, the lead assistant now, once DK left, you know, now all of a sudden he leaves to go to Georgia Tech. And so now you've got another void, and he's learning on the job. And you and I both know in pro sports, it's a challenge as a leader to learn on the job. Brad makes a great point. He's only going to get better. He's a lifelong learner. He will improve himself. True. But does he have the credibility and crunch time to do it? I mean, the owner of the team walked into the locker room after game three and said, you know, guys, in a very, I'll say this politely, he didn't, you know, show some toughness, you know, and then walked out. And, you know, and that's what maybe they needed to hear. I don't know. But I think to me, you know, Joe's development, Mazzulla's development as a coach is critical to the development of the Celtics, just like Jaylen Brown's ability to dribble and control the basketball is important to the Boston Celtics' development.
I mean, I probably have more faith in Mazzulla as a head coach than Jaylen Brown learning how to dribble. I mean, at this point, if you can't dribble, what the hell is going on? You've been playing basketball for so many years.
I don't disagree with you, but I think we tend to focus only on the coach. We don't focus enough on the coach having to improve, and we don't focus enough on the players having to improve, you know? So you have to kind of get those two things together. And, you know, Brad made this decision, and I'm sure he made it based on what he believed was the right thing to do at the right time. But look, Femi, I could just tell you, when you promote a guy two steps above everybody else, there's resentment within the building. And there had to be a lot of resentment within that coaching staff because none of those guys really were his guys. And so he had a difficult job as a young coach to try to manage these other personalities and not have a mutiny on his hands. And I think he got to be respected for what he did there.
Yeah, and I think also from Brad Stevens saying this after the season, is it's like an endorsement of Joe Mazzulla because he's saying, hey, guys, I believe in Joe Mazzulla. So either you guys can get on board or we're going to find some assistants who do get on board with this. And I kind of liken it to Eric Spoelstra because he took over as the Miami Heat head coach in 2008. And in the lead up to the NBA Finals this week, talked about, hey, if I'd gone to another organization, I might have been fired four or five times by now. Like, as a head coach, you're not like where you need to be when you are a young head coach. You have to learn along the way. And obviously Eric Spoelstra had a really good mentor in Pat Riley who can help him instill that Heat culture, and he can kind of pick Pat Riley's brain to where now Spoelstra can kind of do his thing here. But I feel like we don't really have that patience anymore. And I fall victim to it as well. I'm not just blaming everyone else. I fall victim to like, hey, this is not right. We got to fix it and get somebody who will come in here and make it right. But I think the teams that have the success are the ones who are patient and let players and coaches also develop within their system.
Well, I think the ones that do it right understand what's actually wrong, right? What is wrong?
That's also fair, yeah.
And can the guy fix what's wrong? You know, that's the key. You know, is Matt Eberflus a really good coach after his second season, after his first year? You know, is Jonathan Gannon going to be? All these young coaches are really going to be stretched to become good at their job because there's no school to go to learn how to be a head coach, to learn how to be a leader, to be able to bring a team together. It's a challenge. And Mazzulla's kind of gotten a little bit into the challenge, so he can only get better from the mistakes he's made.
And I think we also just forget, because there's been a lot of time that's passed, but he was just thrown into this job. Like, Ime Udoka was the expected head coach to start the season, and then everything comes out with Udoka. They had to go ahead and move on from him after suspending him. So Mazzulla probably was not ready for this job, and they got on the doorstep of making the NBA Finals. So while it might seem bad because he was outcoached by Spoelstra. I think there's some room to grow for Joe Mazzulla going forward there. So maybe we got
another client you have represents another staple. I mean, you're just such a giving.
I don't rep coaches. I rep players. I don't rep coaches.
You can defend him. You can defend. You can say his QBR at the end of the year as a coach was getting better. I love that. Yes.
That does it for the Lombardi Line. We'll see you guys tomorrow. VSiN Best Bets is coming up next.